Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls West.
West.
Issue 26.
26, woo.
Older than me. My birthday's tomorrow because I'm self-centered.
Yay! Happy early birthday!
Yeah. Happy birthday, Kat.
Yeah.
So, you know it's all downhill, right? Like, we're at 26, you'll be at 25.
I mean, I get my insurance down, and then after that, it's just...
Well, you can't have any more fun.
Yeah, it's true.
At this point in time, now we're actually have to be serious about stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have to go have 2.5 kids at, like, tomorrow.
So, dear listeners...
No. This is the new society. You have until you're 37.
Oh, shit. Well done.
Yep.
So, dear listeners, this is where we announce our new format, where we listen to nothing for an hour. This is our new adult format. So yeah, we'll all sit here in silence and contemplate our lives.
I thought we were
going
to talk about the weather. Is that senior citizen status?
I literally...
You have 2 mentions of the weather this hour.
I got the Troy and Abed radio song stuck in my head just now, like listening to adult contemporary. And like... Anyway, I am Nat, one of your hosts, and with me as always...
is Pat.
And Kat in hat.
In hat. Is that the PlayStation hat?
Hell yeah.
That's yeah.
Really cool. So comfy.
I thought although it was just X's and O's because you love the podcast so much.
I actually thought it was a Togepi hat initially because of the white and then the symbols on it. Once again,
going to show off at a Togepi hat. Right.
This is awesome stuff to talk about on a podcast. We can't see anything.
I'm just
see
describing
how amazing
it for you.
Cat hat is. It's absolutely mind blowing.
It is
I've
a color.
I've only got like 30.
That is also the absence of colors.
Oh, damn, I hate that game.
All right.
So we're gonna roll right into the news that we have because it's there's a Comic-Con happening soon, and because there's a Comic-Con happening soon. Nothing else is happening.
No one's talking to anybody about anything.
There's been no news.
There's a lot of
saving everything up.
Shh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll do a special San Diego Comic-Con episode after that happens to fit all the news that's going to drop.
And hopefully we can devote an entire episode to all the DC movie news that drops at San Diego Comic-Con.
God, I hope so.
Yeah.
Because that's what
we might need to have two different episodes.
Like, right.
They've announced the 5th Harley Quinn movie and I just want the Man of Steel 2. And I'm just like, ah.
Yeah, that's true for me. Anyway, so what do you got?
I actually have, speaking of film news, I have all of mine is film, or I guess TV related.
Yeah, close enough.
So I guess I'll just start.
Not really a difference anymore.
I think I'll start in the middle, actually, with my news. So apparently the solo writer, Jonathan Kazdan, I cannot read my own handwriting today, apparently. Kazdan. Is set to write Indiana Jones 5, which I was very sad to find out is a thing. I didn't actually hear any announcements that... Well, I heard that...
So is Harrison
like,
Ford going to crash his plane before this too? Or...
I don't know. I heard very vague rumors that they were in talks about Indiana Jones 5, and I'm so sad to see that now it's starting to get official.
So this is the second pre-production cycle of Indiana Jones 5. So previously, there was a writer attached to the film, and it was waiting.
They decided that they had self-esteem and quit.
I don't know if they got self-esteem and quit or were removed from the project because
they wanted to write a good movie.
Disney, our people are calling for the chick who's in charge of Star Wars and Disney to be fired. So
yeah, Lucasfilm right now is in a weird place.
Yeah.
Jonathan Kazdan, right?
Yes, Jonathan Kazdan.
He's the son of Lawrence Kazdan, who famously was the writer for Empire Strikes Back.
Oh.
Really?
And co-wrote Solo with his son.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen Solo?
I've seen Solo.
Is it good?
I didn't see it, no.
I loved it. That's a way off topic.
Yeah.
But yes, it's a fun movie.
I was just curious if he's like if his writing came through, that's all.
I don't think one of the things that there is a problem with is when you make a movie that's safe, it comes off as feeling safe. Uh-huh. And in this, like, the climate that we have with Star Wars especially, I'm not going to call it fandom because the people who are doing things online are not fans. They're just venomous people.
That's true.
But it's really toxic right now. And you had a movie that was challenging in The Last Jedi. And after that, making something that was safe seems like the correct play. But to the outside eye looking in, it's this safe movie.
I mean, I want an Obi-Wan Kenobi movie, so I was just like...
Yeah, I want an Obi-Wan. I would love an Obi-Wan movie, but the fact that Solo did poorly probably puts that in
Which is limbo. Bullshit, because everybody didn't want that. They wanted the Obi-Wan Kenobi right. movie, so it was on their own.
Yeah. But Solo was fun. Like, that's okay. what it is a standalone Star Wars film. I really enjoyed I enjoyed being in the theater. I
was just curious about his writing is what it was.
But all I know is I definitely do not want an Indiana Jones 5.
No. What was I gonna... Were you gonna have Harrison Ford? The last time he was in a movie, he crashed a plane before that. So just enter set with crash plane.
What they could do, and this would be really interesting, is have him pass the torch to, like, a group of archaeologists. So, like, be a teacher and then move a franchise forward with something else. But, yeah, I don't want to see, like, I love Harrison Ford. We are huge Blade Runner fans here.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't need to see a 75-year-old guy jumping around with his whip. Like, I would be concerned for his safety.
Have you seen him, though? He's kind of ripped, man.
He is. He's in great shape.
He is in good shape, but...
When you're 75.
Sometimes real life is stranger than is more unbelievable than fiction. Right? You know, you could go to the movie I cannot suspend my disbelief to believe that that's Harrison Ford's real body.
Right.
Like, well, no, that's Harrison Ford's real body. Like, I don't believe it.
He's like, yeah, I just crashed my plane and broke my arm. It's cool, bro. I'm like, what?
I know. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
In Force Awakens, I mean, dude is totally spry running around.
Yeah.
And he's comedic timing is on point.
I mean, like, Blade Runner 2049, he has that whole fucking water fight scene.
I forgot about that. And he, like, drowns her. I was like, shit.
Yeah, you know, when they're on the plane. And
That's one of his best performances. So, I mean, he's still got a lot left in him, but there is that little bit of, you know, suspension of disbelief. It's like, no, I can't believe that he's actually doing that.
Right. Yeah, the only reason I believe in Blade Runner is because he's supposed to be a cyborg.
Yeah, exactly.
In the Blade Runner universe.
Or something.
Yeah, or something, or whatever.
Dear Harrison Ford, we're not sure if you're an actual cyborg or not.
Yeah, Harrison Ford, please come in and let us know whether or not you're a cyborg. Yeah.
Are you a replicant or not?
Yeah, right.
Oh, man. All right. Either of you guys got news?
I wish.
You guys got nuts?
Nothing.
All I have to say is nature is fair. Don't be a poacher. Sneak onto a pride or onto a game reserve where a pride of lions eats you. Just saying.
Yeah,
that happened in South Africa.
Yeah,
they ate three poachers. They found three sets of shoes and some high-powered. There are three rifles. They're not sure if there's more because the bushes are pretty thick. Just saying.
Not really comic book related news, but we're definitely
just a
like,
PSA.
Yeah,
it was a trailer for the Lion King movie. That
Yeah, exactly.
Donald Glover led the pack.
Yeah. Now I'm just imagining Donald like a lion. Like, but it's mouth moving and Donald Glover's voice coming out like, hey, poachers, we're going to eat you now. So,
Music video. This is South Africa.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Don't catch me hunting, yo. Anyway.
I'm a lion. Watch me move. Yeah. Okay. Good. Okay.
I want to see this now.
I'll just go on with, some other news. This one's actually really interesting, I thought. I don't know if you remember, I reviewed Skyward number one.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that would be like 2 months ago.
2 or 3 months.
They're on issue number three
recap.
Right now. It's an Image comic about,
Is that the one where they
no
can't,
gravity?
Yeah, and she like gets around by shooting a gun.
So apparently, Sony Pictures bought it already for a film, for a live action film adaptation, and they just signed.
Carousel will do that.
The director of Rampage, Brad Peyton.
That's kind of cool.
Direct. So I haven't seen Rampage yet, but I mean, if he's able to handle like something. That special effect heavy.
Yeah, that's high concept.
Then, I mean, I'm mostly just concerned for mostly actors. I'm pretty sure they're going to have to be in a harness the entire movie.
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to do a harness, or they're going to have to do, like, 2001 Space Odyssey style, where they have giant rotating sets that the people have to, like, walk on as that rotates and... stuff like that. So
I didn't think about the shooting logistics.
Oh no,
like,
that was
my first thought.
Instantly, yeah. When I get there, I'm like, this is gonna be so much fun to film. I can't imagine like all the actors are gonna just have to be stunt doubles already,
right?
Like for this whole thing.
That's really cool.
Yeah, I have no idea because like there's not like the story hasn't really gotten big in the comics yet, because they haven't even gotten to issue 4 yet, so I have no idea what they would do with the movie. Yeah. I was just really surprised to see that it's
Are they already
so...
trying to put it into a movie? Or...
Yeah, oh, no, okay. that's exactly what it is. They have the... Sony bought the rights for a film. They got the director of Rampage on board already. Well, and I mean, it's only, like, 3 months into the run of the comic.
So, like, 3 issues. That's ridiculous. All right, well then, good for them.
Yeah. Same thing kind of happened with the first Kick-Ass, where it was, like, the movie was... in pre-production before the series finished.
My mom let me watch that, I think, when I was, like, 14. Mm-hmm. And she was there with me, and I remember when the first time Hit Girl opens her mouth, and she's like, I want a puppy. And he's like, I'm just fucking with you, Dad. My mom was like, whoa!
That's awesome.
Which is hilarious, because my mom drops the F word, like, every other sentence.
Yeah.
So it's just, like, it was funny.
that is funny.
I love you, Mom. I didn't say nothing like that.
Yeah.
Mom, if you're listening, thanks.
Thanks, Mom. You taught me all the cuss words I know.
I was just saying thanks for listening.
Oh, yeah. Also, thanks for listening, too.
Yeah, that too.
But I'm really excited to see a Skyward film, because I think the run's
good. Well, this is really funny. Is like, I don't really know that I'm excited for the film. I just want to watch the making of movie.
Well, yeah, I was watching how they do with, what's his name, Henry Cavill or whatever, mm-hmm. when he flies as Superman. And I was like, that shit looks ridiculous. And then you're telling me about this, I'm like, what the fuck? Gonna do
it's really interesting too,
because they're not controlling, because at least with Superman, you know, you can have the classic like arms out and then do the thing that. But where there's no gravity, this is pretty much like shooting a, you know, an entire like space film. But it'd be set on Earth too, so you'd have to have like the logistics of all that
theoretically
stuff.
They want to be shooting upside down too, because they need hair moving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no,
so
that's
it can't
true.
Just be like static hair,
or like, yeah, that's true. You got to have the hair all the time, and like,
yeah, you're right. You know. I just want to see the making of this
sometimes, because a lot of times when they do that too, you got to shoot underwater.
Well, and that's I was thinking you're probably applying the technique as of dry for wet. But now you're doing dry for wet transposed to dry. This is a really interesting concept.
I'm in. So, I want to see the making of this movie. They should have a film series.
I want to watch the movie, and then I want to watch the entire length of the movie, but shot from a different camera perspective where you can see the whole set.
You're like, no, you know? Green screen?
Yeah, no,
we're
no
already cutting
screen.
Straight to Blu-ray. We're like, yeah. I want the commentary track that has the video in the corner that I can see what's happening.
I guess this is like how potent of an idea this like concept is that like, It's three issues in, they're making a movie, and we're already thinking of the DVD extras that we want to see. When it comes out, eventually, they don't even have anything attached to it.
Yeah, we have a director, there's no actor,
there's no actor, there's no dates, there's no writers, there's no producers, there's no, and then we're already like, alright, so, I want 15 DVD extras, and I want one of them to be an interview with the main actor, of course, and I want one of them,
That's awesome. I want the director's GoPro.
Director's GoPro.
Yeah. I want a little tiny cameras attached to everybody, to every actor on set, and I want to see every one of those on screen at the same time. Oh my god.
Oh man, we're like way segueing.
We've all had way too much tequila in our coffee this morning.
I prefer my Bailey's and Jameson, but that's okay.
Oh god.
Irish coffee.
Actually, Irish coffee is the Bailey's and the Jameson minus the Bailey's.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
But the Bailey's is so good, I don't like cream in my coffee.
That's fair, yeah. Who would put cream in their coffee when you have Bailey?
Exactly.
I was going to say, I put cream in, like, okay.
Hand down. Officer pulls you over. Are you drunk right now? I'm just drinking a coffee.
Don't worry about it.
I'm just exhausted from staying up all night drinking. Anyway. Moving on.
Last bit of news.
This is the actual last bit of news I have here. HBO is in production for Watchmen, and I guess this past week they just added a bunch of actors and actresses
to the
official cast. Yeah, so I saw 4 for sure. They have, and forgive me if I mispronounce any of these names. My handwriting is terrible today, apparently. We have Yahya Abdul-Mateen, who's the Black Manta from the upcoming Aquaman movie. We're going to have Tom Mason from Sleepy Hollow, Mason.
Okay.
My handwriting. Do you know if he was a star or not?
I actually don't have his character name down here right now. Mm-hmm. We'll have Frances Fisher from The Edge of Night and Titanic. So she's a pretty old school actress.
Been around. Oh, yeah, I know him. Like he's the 70s. He's got a great beard.
That's totally got to be Ozymandias.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking when I was looking at him too. Frances Fisher. So I don't know who she's going to be because she's
probably old. Original Sally Jupiter.
Yeah, that's right. I totally didn't think about that. And then we got Jacob Ming-Trent, who has so far very few credits. Big Broadway theater actor, a bunch of Shakespeare stuff.
Jeremy Irons announced?
Was he? I might have missed that one.
Okay, I thought he was. I mean, I'll look real quick.
Either way, this is, just in general, it's pretty exciting news that they, and this is all in the last week, so they're, like, really starting to get a crackdown on getting into regular production with the Watchmen series, so I'm really excited for that, because obviously the sooner they do that, the sooner it can come out, and I can love it. Probably.
Why was I thinking?
You
said
it's
Black
Watchmen
Manta.
And it's HBO. Jeremy Irons is going to be in it.
Was announced as well. So
yeah.
I was not thinking. I was thinking you were talking about is his name? Ocean Master, not.
The Manta. Reverse.
And I was like,
oh, that's hilarious because Ocean Master is actually being played by the Night Owl from the Watchmen movie.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Really?
That's so.
Oh, it's my nice God, little that's funny.
Turnabout. That's kind of funny. Weird 6 degrees things. Yeah, I think Jeremy Irons would be actually a really good candidate for the original Night Owl. But
Yeah.
I wonder what they would do with his accent, though. Generally, he acts with the accent. I don't know that I think of a lot of roles where he's done an American.
I feel like he probably can at this point.
Yeah. He's one of the best classically trained actors.
Yeah.
I really... The high hopes that I have for this series is that it is a reflection of television culture. Like the way that Watchmen is a reflection of comic book culture, and especially comic culture at the time, that this is like a play on TV culture.
Oh my God, I love this dude.
So it's like a takes that.
If they don't have his kick-ass accent in it, I'll be upset.
Yeah, no, I'm really I'm definitely super excited for this because HBO, like especially recently. With their staff of like writers and directors that they have,
yeah,
just been killing it recently.
Yeah, and so they've shown that they'll blow the budget. You know, they'll make sure that whoever's working on this.
I mean, there was parts in, you know, I'm just finished Westworld season 2, and there's, oh my God, there's like, if it's even like a fraction of the like production value that show has, then it's gonna blow the movie's tits off.
Nice. I like the Watchmen film a lot.
Yeah, and I did like the Watchmen film too. I know a lot of people hated on it. I'm just saying, I think it can be like,
yeah, there's a lot of room to grow, especially when you're doing like the miniseries format where you give things time to breathe.
I think they could totally do this. I'm excited to see. I wanted them to do it 12 episodes.
Yeah, I was thinking 8 to 10.
I was thinking like one episode per like
issue
or whatever,
and actually if you did 12, you'd be able to do some of the like, you could have a throwaway episode that deals with like just the Black Freighter story, you know.
Yeah, I should really go. I need to go home and grab my...
Well, you could have that. They could even do that as like an intro or outro to every episode or something like that.
That's true.
I need to go home and grab the Watchmen comic now and reread it because it's been so long.
Oh yeah, always a good option.
Yeah.
I guess I just have to buy this because I don't do no video go. I'm too cheap.
I don't know, with Thrones season 8 and then Westworld season 2.
I just don't care about Game of Thrones.
It's okay.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, exactly. They're gonna need a new, like, with Game of Thrones ending, they need some more big hitters.
A new anchor. Well, Westworld maybe.
Yeah, Westworld's definitely coming up, but yeah. Then they're gonna need.
Did they say that they have any like production date for it? Or are they still just naming actors?
Nope, they just have cast.
So I think far. It is supposed to start shooting this year though, because they have like they have a full production staff, and you know it's the one of the producers of Lost is the main producer, Damon Lindelof. So, and you assume Robert Orky or...
Andy got upset at me yesterday because apparently, or the other day, because I apparently made fun of her for liking Lost. I'm like, I never watched it. I didn't have an interest in it.
Episode one of Lost is one of the greatest, like, pilot episodes in history. Like, I remember being alone in my bedroom watching this, and I jumped at, the way that they shoot this, the sequences.
Oh.
Awesome.
Nice. Well, that's it for news that I have, and I guess none of you guys have news.
So. I just had that PSA, don't hunt on game reserves. Yeah. They got lions.
Yeah.
Lions make you bitch.
Cool. Alright.
So we're going to do a bit of a weird choice today, just since it's a slow news day.
You're right.
Kind of chatting on some of the things. We're avid comic readers, obviously. You know, we wouldn't have a podcast that focused so much on comic books if we didn't respect and love the media.
No, I didn't grow up wearing a Superman shirt.
Right. But we do have our grievances and things that we don't like about comics or trends that we're seeing that are not positive. So we're going to do a little, like, discussion point on some of those things. I'm going to lead it off right now. I can't stand weekly and bi-weekly comic book schedules. I don't understand what the point is. I get trying to get these numbers to their key numbering points. I don't like having to deal with changes in artists. I don't... Yeah, there's a lot about that schedule. Plus, it's hard on the wallet. There's a lot of stuff to read right now.
So I guess just to cue the reader or the listeners in, real quick, we're talking about like comic book events specifically.
Well, we're gonna talk about all of the things.
I think
we're gonna talk about
the grievances that we each have. And right.
I think events is one of the grievances that we need to hit.
Yeah, well, I guess not event is the right way, but just the way that publishers are choosing to release their content, if I'm
well, right. So right now, like, so we're like, this. We'll talk about DC is the big one. With Rebirth, they went to a bi-weekly shipping schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but not with all of them, with certain ones. And I'm happy right now they actually pulled back on some of them too. Like, it made me so happy.
But we're 2 years into Rebirth and they're pulling back on some.
I don't know how to help you. At least they're pulling back.
Yeah.
See, as a comic reader myself, that does not encourage me to. I can see how for avid fans of these characters that it would be great to have two issues a month of something.
Not even then.
There's certain things, but I feel like I would definitely get burned out even of some of my favorite titles if I...
Or you just forget to read them.
A month. Or yeah, I just forget to read them. I'm like,
that's the thing. I think me and Nat got so excited because they're like, yeah, Superman and Action Comics are every monthly now. I was like, what?
Yeah.
That makes it so much better.
It is nice to have a little bit of anticipation, plus to read other stuff. Like,
dear God, yes.
I read a lot of Image titles. I read Boom Studios stuff, it's like, I don't want that to fall by the wayside because I'm trying to catch up on these bi-weekly books.
Yeah, I don't think I really have the only bi-weekly one. I didn't read it either, huh?
Well,
I don't know what happened to my Justice League one. The only bi-weekly one that I have now, I pulled off of Wonder Woman because I'm like, I can't afford this. I pulled back from something else too. Like I have Batwoman, which I love, monthly issue. Perfect.
Is Superman or Action Comics bi-monthly?
Going forward, they will not
be. They used to be, but now they will be.
So both of them were bi-monthly?
Yeah.
Or no, bi-weekly, yes.
Or bi-weekly.
Yeah, they were both bi-weekly.
However that works. There's two a month.
Yeah, there's two a month.
See, that's just ridiculous. So if you're a Superman fan, which I am not, but, you know,
being a Superman fan,
four titles a month, or that's four books a month to be reading. That's too much content.
That's my thing, is I wasn't reading Superman because I'm like, I don't want to read... I wasn't reading the original Superman title because I'm like, I either read Action Comics or I read Superman.
Well, you just made a really interesting point, and that... You dropped Wonder Woman because you just couldn't afford it.
Yeah, I was like, and that's the other thing too, is I feel like these, when they're bi-weekly like this, they're not as good of stories either. Sometimes.
The problem that I have is from a creative standpoint as well. Wonder Woman, when Rebirth launched, did a really creative thing where your even number or your odd yeah. number issues were done by it's the same writer, but then Liam Sharp did the odd numbers, and that was her current story.
Oh,
and Nicola Scott did the even numbers, and that was going through and doing her mm-hmm. her history. So you had two concurrent storylines rather than one ongoing story.
Which is better, because most of the time they usually do, so like within, not even like a month and a half, they're already wrapping up another story arc, because yeah. they usually stick to that 6 months issue thing.
And you don't get rid of the dissonance.
Six issue thing.
You do get rid of the dissonance of having another artist just on the book randomly. Mm-hmm. Like, there was a specific core reason for doing
that.
Well,
that's what happened with, what was it, Bombshells United. I just got pissed off, basically, because I'm like, this is completely different. And the art style that I got in the other half of the book, I was like, Wonder Woman looks like she's 9.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like they have to do, when you're on a schedule that's that tight, that's that fast, the average penciler pencils 30 pages a month.
Yeah.
One comic book is, you know, 30 pages. 24?
22 to 24, depending.
Yeah. So that same artist is not going to be able to physically keep up with the demands of that schedule.
The Man of Steel.
Well, like, for me, when I pick up one of these bi-monthly books...
Bi-weekly,
whatever. buy something.
The twice a month
sexual
books.
The twice a month books. The bi-books.
Yeah, the bi-books.
they just feel, in both writing and art, they just feel like a comics version of like a Hollywood blockbuster movie.
Well, honestly,
like, they
when
just,
they
just feel like something that's meant to appeal to the masses is kind of like watered down content and art style, because they just have to pump them out so fast. And then
I think with the monthly books, they're even more expensive. And I'm like, I'm cool dropping $4 when I don't have to drop $6.
Well, I mean, I know the buy books are like, I think at least for DC, they're $2.99 as opposed to $3.99.
No, there's no price difference.
Oh, really?
I thought Wonder Woman was only $2.99.
They are whatever they're priced on page count more or less than they are.
Their
schedule.
Yeah, and they just feel...
Here's Justice League number 3. It's $3.99.
Wow.
Why didn't I read that? I'm upset right now. I'm sorry. What's going on?
Yeah.
I had that in my pile.
Fine. It's just too much. And I mean, you know, like, we've already talked on this show a bit about, like stuff like The Hunt for Wolverine.
It was 16 issues by itself, and then now
every week.
And now they're doing The Return of Wolverine. I'm like, how many?
Yeah.
No!
Yeah. That, yeah.
And then,
Well, there, that's another, so we're gonna, because I want to end with, I think I know where you're going with this.
Oh, yeah.
But it does have beg the question, too, of why is continuity so important?
Yeah.
Why do we need to tell these stories over 17 issues in all of these different stories to get a singular story, when some of the best stuff that we've read over the course of the past year has been things like Batman White Knight?
Yeah.
Out of continuity. Doomsday Clock. Out of continuity.
Yeah. I mean, they're talking about New 52, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, like... yeah, like, I mean... I can see these things being, you know, I do enjoy the continuity in some aspects. I don't think we should be chained to it. I feel like that's a different discussion topic for a different day.
Well, I think the author should be in charge of that. But that is what it is.
Well, yeah, but like, I think the thing that we're all pissed off about the most is just how fast they're trying to pump this out.
Yeah.
Just really, what it is at the end of the day is just to make more money, honestly. Like,
there's
no reason artistically that you need to have 2 books a month. There's no reason artistically that you need to have 4 books a month.
Well, no, and I get
that,
it.
That doesn't
tie into the same story.
I get it to
Yeah,
an
that doesn't improve
the
story. That just
at the end
gives
of the,
you more of it.
At the end of the day, they need to make money so they can put more money back into it, but they also have to have show profits, too. So I get it to, like, some extent, but at the same time, I'm like, I feel like you'd make more money if you just stopped with bi-weekly
shit. I honestly think there's an issue with number hunting. Like, that they wanted to get Action Comics to 1,000, that they want to get Batman to 1,000. And this speed up gets you there faster.
Well, they made it. Well, the thing is maybe that's why they're stopping the. They're doing monthly Action Comics again because they made it to their 1,000.
Yeah.
Because I think maybe what it was is they're like, oh shit, if we do this too in this format. Are they still doing
buy books with Batman?
Right now, yeah.
So, yeah, you're probably exactly right, because then they're trying to speed Batman up to get him to 1,000, too.
Yeah, Detective Comics. And Batman is...
Detective Comics is not that far behind.
Either. No, it's in the 980s, I believe.
Well, and I think their thing right now is, too, is look where Action Comics hit. If they did it monthly, I don't think they would have hit that 80-year mark. So I think
they timed it with the 80-year
I think that's the other part of it, too, is maybe they figured out, hey, if we do this in a span, it'll hit his 80 years. If we do this.
Well, and maybe that's an okay thing to do, but they made it a line-wide decision. And even if there's, like, five titles that weren't, it's still, that's a line-wide decision.
Oh, yeah.
That's you know, that's the
majority. So they might have done it that way for that particular reason. I could see that. And they might, I mean, I don't know what they're doing with Detective Comics, because that's not too far behind either. So that's probably
the next. Waiting on to that. I'm trying to think of the anniversary. I think next year. When is Batman's anniversary? If this year was Superman's, I think it's 2 years from now?
Well, yeah, because Batman came out right after him, didn't he?
Yeah. Mm. I know next year is the 30th anniversary of the 89 Batman movie.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, like, so that leads directly into events about, you know, we're talking about the Hunt for Wolverine or Man of Steel and No Justice and... what we're gonna lead into the wedding of Bruce and Selina. Like, you have, not only are you reading bi-weekly books, but you're reading ancillary titles that add into the story in addition to these books that you're reading every 2 weeks. Like, that's a lot of content in a short amount of time on a budget.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Why are you giving me DCs? I don't care about DCs.
So we all read Batman number 50, correct?
Yes.
The wedding issue. How many of us in this room, did either of you read the prelude to the wedding, any of them?
Nope.
I didn't read a single one of those.
So if we're the core audience for these books, what is actually happening that none of us cared to read those?
I don't actually know if they're going to do a thing.
Well, I think the thing is, you know, I've read a couple crossover events, and while they always sound like a great idea, I think what gets lost is your expectations as a reader to see these characters that you know and love. Like for instance, if you're reading Batman, the main title, you're used to Tom King's writing style. And then if you see this same story told by a different author, because they have a different writing style, it's going to be... It just feels weird to me, usually.
Like, does Batman feel like Batman when he's in the hands of somebody else that's...
Yeah. And it's not even the character, because you can write the character the same, but just, like, the story itself doesn't feel the same because of certain tonal choices. Like, Tom King's books are going to be very much different than...
Scott Snyder. We'll talk about another Batman writer.
You know, what was some of the other... Like I know they did it in Batwoman, right? That was one of the tie-in titles.
There was a Batwoman tie-in. There was a Harley Quinn.
There was a Batwoman tie-in? Where the hell
was that? Yeah, so, like... Who's the Batwoman writer right now?
Marguerite Bennett?
She's or
Marguerite
so sweet. Bennett.
Yeah. She's a great writer, but she has an entirely different style
she's
than
got,
Tom King that's very like palpable.
She's got Bombshells as well. She's doing that one too.
But
I was just saying, and that one hilariously enough, I believe is also biweekly.
Yeah, there's this, when is it too much? And I think that might be, like, a big question mark.
Well, why is it... Well, other than making money, what is the point?
What's the point?
Like...
Yeah.
You know, I... Like, for instance, Image has done a couple weeklies recently. For instance, I'm thinking of the...
Twisted Romance?
Twisted Romance, yes. very specific reason that that was a weekly comic is because it was February and
it was an anthology series, looking at different points of view of the writing style.
It's like, that was kind of a campy reason, but at least there's a reason to do it.
They had an experiment, and
they did a bunch of short stories with that.
Well, that's the thing. It was a writing experiment that centered around the idea of love and romance. So if they do it this way, then they put it out in the month that's supposed to be celebrating romance.
There's obviously another reason for that quote event, aside from just making more money.
Right.
For these ones that we're talking about, these Marvel and DC events, what is the point? Yeah. I feel like.
Because Man of Steel, we'll talk about Man of Steel in a later episode, but Man of Steel
was done on purpose.
It was done on purpose, and it's a beautifully written book. It takes its time, it breathes. Yes. Why couldn't it have been a monthly?
Because they probably wanted to start Superman and Action Comics in July because they put a halt to those.
Yeah.
So the reason is to get more issues out and to have more... Yeah. It's a financial reason.
Speaking of which, I was just sitting here Googling for 15 minutes. The Batman is coming up on, I think, also 80 years from what I saw.
Okay. Yeah, it's soon.
Yeah, I think it's next year.
Is it next year? Okay.
Yeah, because we're at 79 right now, so my assumption is they're trying to hit it to 1,000 for next year.
That makes sense.
I will buy all those variants too.
Well, yeah, and so like you get to 1,000, and that's a big deal. But then what happens after that? Then you have fatigue from. Yeah. I'm sure both of you are probably Supermaned out from 1,000 readings. Man of Steel.
Actually,
maybe I don't know.
Man of Steel has made my anticipation for what's coming next higher.
Yeah, okay. I'm very interested to see what he's going to do after reading it.
Well, bad example, I guess. But
Justice, the one that happened for the Justice League one, didn't get me excited.
Yeah, that was not very good.
Yeah.
So, I'm excited for Justice League, but that had no bearing on it. Like, it was just a filler series. To me, it felt like filler, too. It didn't feel like good content.
That's basically what it was. I think they were just being like, all right, we got to set these teams up. Just throw something together. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
So I
feel like the core of where this conversation is going is that having so many books of the same thing, like, wait, I understand Marvel and DC wanting to print more and more books. There's so many different opportunities for them to do that. But the only thing that happens really is you might be making more money, but then core readers don't care anymore. They lose interest in your titles and they move. I know, like, most like really heavy comic book readers I know, like way sweatier than me, they a lot of them only read like third party titles. Like, most of them are like, I'm just sick of Marvel and DC's stuff.
Yeah.
So,
and for me, it's like, it's a point of contention. I like Tom King's writing on Batman, and I like Tom King's writing in general, so I will continue reading Batman because I've been reading Batman for so long. I don't necessarily like the overall story of Batman right now. I like his writing style, and I like reading that stuff, so each issue is positive for me, but it's not, I mean, I would much rather go back to Snyder's Batman in the New 52. I felt like that was more what I like.
Yeah.
I read New 52 Batman. I'll have to look at that.
Yeah, so that's what I'm talking about. Like, the story is bad, but Tom King can make it good because he's a good writer. But if you give that to a slightly less talented writer for a crossover event, then it's going to be a bad story.
Well, that's the thing, is like, it's like, you have how many Spider-Man comics? I have 2 Superman comics, but now instead of reading 4 books, I read 2.
Yeah.
Which will
be a lot nicer, right?
Yeah, well, no, because then it's easier on me, and I feel like I'll get a better story out of it, even.
That's why I stopped reading Spider-Man, is I just felt like it was just...
Actually, there's like, what?
It was going because it was going. And
Spider-Man?
There was,
yeah, because there's a
Renew Peter Your... Parker, Amazing Spider-Man, Renew Your Vows, Miles Morales... I think those are your monthlies.
Jesus.
Yeah, so that's 4 monthly Spider-Man books. And granted, there's a few different Spider-Men even, but, like, right. that's one of the reasons I stopped reading Spider-Man is because I was...
Well, yeah, if we get into the ancillary characters...
Because I was just tired of seeing so many Spider titles on the shelves, and I was like, I'm adding to the problem buying
right? It's like, I don't mind... If you did Amazing Spider-Man and Peter Parker Spider-Man, those were your core books, and then there was now a continuity Spider-Man title that came as a six-month monthly, yeah, that's great. That's fine.
Yeah,
it's the all of these titles are supposed to be the same character at the same time in this universe, and that's like the writing styles may be so different from one another that doesn't connect, that it doesn't fit as if I'm not reading the same Spider-Man in Peter Parker that I'm reading in Amazing, but they're supposed to be in the same, like, this is the same guy.
And then, of course, like, obviously the art style, too, on top of that. You know, you get used to the one art, and you're like, that's not what his face looks like. Who is this man?
Right.
You know, that's not him. Yeah, you see them walking, and it's supposed to be one of those things, and you're like, I don't even recognize who that person is. Is this a character reveal, or is that just, like, a person on the street?
Right. That's hilarious.
I think all pain aside and whatnot. I mean, I mostly just hope they go back to monthly issues, and I feel like they would honestly make more money that way.
Personally. I think less titles for each character.
Oh yeah,
and monthlies would really do a lot. But speaking of events and potential changes and things that lead into one another, we'll talk about our review right now. We're going to talk about Batman number 50.
And we're ruining the shit out of it. So if you haven't read it yet...
Oh, we're going to spoil this worse than the New York Times did on Sunday.
Ah, damn it, you beat me too.
I didn't know they did that.
Oh, that's I knew it, and I was real pissed. That's another discussion. We won't talk about that.
Right?
Yeah.
But we can talk about the fact...
The media is leaking all of these leaks. This is exactly what Trump is talking about. These are the media leaks that we really need to take care of. Who's in charge of these things? They're just leaking Batman spoilers all over the fake news media.
Batman's leaking everywhere.
Yeah. Failing New York Times.
But this is directly tied into what we just discussed. None of us read the Prelude issues.
I don't think they mattered either.
And that's the thing. None of it mattered because the wedding didn't even happen.
And I can tell you right now, I was reading this and, like, just give him something. I'm not one... we all know that I have, like, somewhat of a grudge against Batman, because all I ever get to do is talk shit to him. Superman sucks, Batman's so much better. And I'm like, shut up. No one asked you.
Of course,
I'm like, just give him something. You motherfuckers.
I mean, I really love... this is just beautiful to read, honestly. Yeah. I mean, obviously all the art, different pinups and whatever.
I think there needs to be like an honorable mention, and we'll talk about it too, of Catwoman and her cover. How it says,
you gotta read this first.
She's holding Batman number 50. She's like, you gotta read this first, or I'll spoil the shit out of it.
So there's two perspectives on this title. There is the objective, we're gonna talk about this as an individual comic book and review what we thought. And then there's the idea of, in the greater scheme of comic book storytelling and our previous discussion, what is, you know, where do we stand from that perspective? I'll just straight up start with, I loved this issue. I cried. I felt so bad. And there was a moment.
Was it a specific part or just like in general?
Well, just knowing that like it wasn't going to happen and... her Catwoman's friend, the one she brought as a witness.
Bitch.
I wanted to punch her through the comic page. I was like, no, don't say anything. Just let it happen.
Well, until you hit the end, she did it on purpose, and now I'm like, I just want to break your neck.
Yeah, it makes it even worse. But yeah, this was really well written.
So I was confused though at the end. What actually happened?
She put little doubts in her head about basically saying, can Batman still really be Batman?
Yeah.
If he's happy? And I'm like, fuck you, you whore.
Yeah. If Catwoman marries Bruce and Bruce gets to be the happy guy that he's turning into when he's around her, the fight that Batman has, like that need, that desire that comes from the pain in his life, goes away.
Okay, so...
So it's that idea
like
of...
like a catch-22 kind of thing.
Right. She has to... In order to save Batman, she has to kill Bruce, essentially. And...
Well, that was the thing, is like, what was the last... one of the last things that she said about him, and I don't remember. It's not in here.
It's the most, like, heroic moment that she can have is to...
I wish I could give my life, but I can't. I have to give more. My sacrifice is my love. It's you. So and it's... I'm like, now that I'm dead inside...
I am. Yeah, it's so sad because you are
like,
seeing...
I'm like sitting over here, I'm like, I want little bat cat babies, you bastard.
Yeah, not that Hellspawn,
yeah,
Damien.
Not that little bastard.
I actually love Damien, so that's but not my...
No, I want little bat cat babies and I got nothing. And now I'm just upset because it's garbage and it's bullshit.
But this book was filled with tiny moments that were really poignant and beautiful. The Alfred being the best man, basically, and just obvious that is, you know, that has to be the answer, and the hug.
Yeah.
I was actually reading this book in bed with my girlfriend, and I was reading this, and I was just like, this is adorable, and I want to cry, and, like, the part where she walks in, and I didn't realize it before, but she was wearing cat ears underneath her veil, and I'm like, look, she's as extra as you are.
Oh, yep. That page, the walking and meeting each other in the hallway.
Oh, man, that was a really beautiful page.
Because you read it basically backwards. So you read from the outsides in, so you have to, you know, you can bounce around. There's multiple ways of reading the page. It's just really fun.
Yeah. Tom King's prose poetry via their letters to each other is just absolutely freaking beautiful. And especially, like, the first few... double splash pages that they do it, and how it, like, they, like, mirror each other, like, almost, like, word for word is, like, oh, man, that's, like, this is, like, some, like, writer's, like, wet dream stuff.
Right?
You're like, oh, man, I was reading this, and this must have just been, he must have had an absolute blast writing this issue. And it really showed through the vivacity of their letter to each other.
The worst part is too is like when the little things that her friend sneaks into these too, like the little shots about, you know, can he be happy and still be Batman, and then and she's like, am I a hero? Of course you are, Selena, right? I mean, after all, that's what happened. After all that's happened, don't you have to be? And I was like, fuck you! Shut up! No one asked your opinion!
Yeah. There's a funny thing, too, about, you know, because they talk about the eyes, you know, in their conversations.
Yeah.
From a super thwitty perspective, they actually address the fact that Batman has the white eyes because he covers them so that people can't see them. So, yeah. So the white eyes was definitely a... Like, that. It's addressed in this beautiful thing just so subtly, just saying, yeah, he's covering his eyes. That's something that he doesn't want people to see. So it's not just the way the artists have drawn him, which is totally what it is. It's just that he drew without eyes.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, I'm just upset. I'm like, he can't have this one thing. He just can't. You know what? Fuck off.
I wonder what this does to him psychologically, and that final panel dealing with the Bane and the, like, the super wrecking crew that he's got going on.
Yeah.
And there's some real weird...
I am kind of interested to see where this story goes now, actually.
There's some really, like, strange questions here. Because the evil, the Batman that's pictured is Thomas Wayne from Flashpoint.
Yeah.
Joker, I'm pretty sure, died in the last issue. And Gotham Girl has been a hero up until this point. Skeets is destroyed. So there's some real weird inconsistencies on this group shot, and I don't know... what is happening. There still seems to be a psychological element that there may be some lies in the story somewhere. And not just this issue particularly, but of the 50 issues.
And the other part of me too is, I don't know who this is. Like, I should know, but I don't know.
Bane?
No.
Her?
Yeah.
She's the one who, she was Catwoman at one point in time, and she's the Catwoman who confessed to all the murders, like, at the end of New 52, I believe.
Oh, I have no idea. I haven't read.
Readers correct, or listeners correct us if I'm wrong on that.
Yeah, I don't know who she is.
The phone's already ringing out.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't know who she was, and she was saying that they were friends, and then I was like, what?
I think she was a character that was introduced as a background part of Frank Miller's Batman Year One. So, like, they referenced that a lot. Like, you found me on the streets. It was on a boat. They talk about, like, where the first appearance
happened. In the back of my mind, though, and I'm like, you're a horrible friend. And, like, the very part of the end, she's like, she brought me back, locked me up, then she left alone. She's devastated, but you determined as you said she'd be. I don't know about him. We left before. I didn't see what he was. Do not worry. I know. He is what I have made him. The bat is broken. I'm like, you motherfucker.
Oh, and the last time we saw Bane, Batman had broke his back.
Oh, really?
So, nice. There's some major questions in this. So
I don't know, after reading this and I get to the back and there's like an ad for Teen Titans Go, I'm like, I am destroyed right now. I can't think of happy. Nothing in this world is happy.
So I think it's safe to say we all really liked the issue.
Well, yeah, it was like just it was honestly just a giant love letter between Batman and Catwoman.
And a love letter to their history.
Yeah, like that was my thing too, that I liked so much, and I don't know their history as well as you do, but it was still amazing.
Any final thoughts, Pat, before we kind of talk about the overarching, like, what does this mean as an event?
And there was also a love letter to love letters.
It was actually
a love letter. It really was. Yeah. These could be fucking wedding vows.
I thought it was the vows initially, and then realizing that.
And then I'm just, like, destroyed on the inside.
Realizing it was the final letters to each other, which sucked.
Just bullshit.
Yeah,
I didn't want this for him. I wanted this for me.
You know, I've never read a Batman, like, solo issue before. And, I thought this was great. I love Tom, like I said, I love Tom King's writing. Huge fan, so, like, I was not surprised that it was awesome, and in fact, I was surprised at how awesome it was as a solo. I don't really have that much, like, stake in Batman as a character, so the fact that he didn't marry her, I'm not, like, I can totally see why everyone was super upset because of everything leading up to it.
Well, they're also actually in love, too. That's, like, the worst part. She's like, I'm sacrificing my love so you continue to be Batman. I'm letting you live in misery. I'm like, no!
Yeah, but for me, as just a comic book reader in general, I absolutely love this issue.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if I'll continue reading it all, just because I don't care that much, but it was great.
I have my concerns, like, as a fan who's been reading the book, this was great, fits in, it makes sense into the context of the story, but I don't know, like, if you were a casual reader who came out specifically to buy the wedding issue, you know, Batman number 50, is that satisfying to you? You know, like, would that be something that you're happy about? I don't know. It's a weird paradigm, it's a weird place that we're at when there's so many events leading towards this, so much advertising and things, and then what's advertised isn't actually what happens.
Yeah, I think that's the worst part about why it did, about the fact that it didn't happen, is that they had, what was it, 6 or 8 tie-in issues specifically to celebrate the wedding between Batwoman and Batman and Catwoman.
Well,
Batwoman and Catman.
And,
I'd be down.
Yeah. And then it didn't happen. Like,
well, that was the thing that kind of, like, I was sitting here, and I know better, because I was sitting next to my girlfriend, and I was like, she's like, what? I was like, I don't know, this is probably not going to happen. I can dream, and I can wish, and I can pray that it's going to happen, but it's probably not going to happen. She's like, why? And I'm like, aw, sweetie, let me talk to you. Let me tell you pretty much everything in my life, and it's all the disappointments that I've had. All the disappointments I've ever had in comics. And all the different ever disappointments I've had when it comes to characters marrying one another. It's always disappointment. There's never been a moment where I was like, yeah!
Well, somebody described it to me best once, I think, and they were like, superhero comics are basically like soap operas.
Yeah, that's fair.
You can't have people marrying each other, because then that ruins, like, what if, you know, if Batman marries Catwoman, then Batman can't potentially marry Wonder Woman or all these other great ships that people have. I don't know. I'm not interested in Batman
and Wonder Woman are wrong.
I don't care, whatever. Batman's love life is whatever, but, like, you know what I mean? It ruins, like, the whole, like, what if they're, like, you know, a lot of people want Batman to marry Catwoman, but a lot of people want Batman to marry freaking...
You're wrong. No, I'm just kidding.
Saturn Girl. I don't know.
All right, wow. We're way out
yeah.
there.
Yeah, I don't know. There's somebody out there that's probably shipped.
Well, that's the other thing,
him.
Too, is you always have... you had Talia, but she's a sociopath, so don't marry her. But the other part of it was, is it's just like, you know, like, there's very... Like, I never do this. And I never come to the defense of Batman because I'm just, like, begrudgingly kicked around all the time. Well, Batman's so much better. I'm like, he's literally a child throwing a temper tantrum. I don't know what else to tell you. He, at the same time, like, he literally has to live in misery in order to be Batman.
Yeah.
And that's, like, the other part of it, too, is, like, with Superman, I'm like, you know, you gave Superman Lois Lane, and how many times have they had a kid? Like, come on, you can just let him have this one thing. Nope.
Yeah.
All right. Well. Cool. just stab right through the heart.
Yeah. So in general, it was a good issue. Just I think we, like all the other fans out there, were expecting an actual resolution to this.
I was praying that would just.
It's
happen.
Called like on the cover. It's the wedding, Batman, exercise anniversary issue. You are cordially invited. This is the most misleading.
Like, but that's the thing, though, is you know, is like as a comic book reader, when it comes to that kind of stuff, or just like one of these things in general, he's never happy. He will never be happy.
Yeah,
just
that's all right.
But at
whatever.
The same time, I'm just like, God damn it, just this one thing. I mean, I get a single Catwoman issue now, so I'm cool with that. But
yeah.
But at the same
what?
Time, why?
Yeah, we'll see where it goes. But
yeah, I'm interested
anyway.
To see what's going to happen to him in 51. So I'll probably read after this a little bit just to see how he takes it. I know how Catwoman's doing because I read that issue.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about that.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in our next issue.
Yeah, right?
So anyway, I guess with that being said, let's
let's peace out.
Yes, let's say bye.
Bye.